8:40 and a cool 2 degrees above zero on a winter walk Thursday. Joining us now from his office at Northfield Hospital and Clinics is President and CEO of NHC, Steve Underdahl. Steve, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Good morning, Jeff.
Are you having a good winter season so far? And I'm talking on a personal level and not a germ level or a virus level. We'll get to that in just a moment.
Yeah, I'm having about as good of early winter as I can. I'm one of those people that doesn't mind so much snow and cold, but dark at 4:30 in the afternoon starts to get to me after a while. So your ray of hope is that if you can make it, I think until next week, even before the 21st, we start to gain a minute back in the evening again. And no one but me cares about this.
Oh, you're not the only one. I'm one of those fans of longer days myself. And one thing we do have, I tell you what, why don't we start off our conversation to talk about viruses? Because this has been shaping up to be, not a unique year, but another interesting year as far as that goes. We've got like three big things going on, like a triple-demic with COVID. We have the respiratory thing going on and the regular flu and who knows what else. Talk a little bit about those viruses going around and what you've seen so far at NHC.
Yeah, we're seeing just lots and lots of sick people. And as you indicated, it isn't exclusive to these upper respiratory diseases, but that's a big piece of it. So RSV with little kids in particular, the flu season has hit earlier and with a little more robustly than it has, people have pointed out, we've been, in our house with our masks on for a while. And so our ability to spread illness to each other is probably elevated. And then COVID as well. I mean, I think probably even the last time that you and I talked, I noted that, we went for weeks without really having much in terms of COVID presentations in the hospital. And just this week alone, every day we've got somebody in the hospital with COVID. We've got one, we've got three, we've got two, we've got one. And the good news is most of the time there are people who are in the hospital with COVID and not because of COVID, which is, just way better than where it used to be. But these easily transmittable illnesses are really, working their way through the community very quickly. If you've got, little kids in your life, daycare centers and schools and other things, I mean, they're just, everybody's sick.
Boy, and that has been the case, a couple of years ago. It's really been about 3 years now since COVID first burst onto the scene. And, during those early months, it was terrible. The COVID seemed to be had a much more deadly bent to it than maybe what we have now. But as far as the medical profession, it seemed like we were kind of off guard on what to do with this. And you were inundated with so many patients 2-3 years ago. Are we getting more treatments and are things getting better from a medical standpoint?
Yeah, I think particularly with COVID, now we have a lot of experience with the illness. I think we have lots of we have much more of the population that isn't having a unique reaction to a brand new virus. So people who've had their vaccinations and their boosters, or who've had COVID in the past, or often now it's all of the above. They've been vaccinated, plus they've maybe had a more minor case of COVID. So now there's a certain, you might remember we talked a little bit about, or was talked about a lot in the media, these ideas like herd immunity and those kinds of things. But that idea that more of us in the population have an ability to cope with and resist these viruses. So that's been helpful. I think in terms of the medical response to this sort of wave of illness, one of the challenges that we're having right now is that there's kind of a perfect storm of chronic and persistent workforce shortages in healthcare right now. As in other industries as well. This isn't just healthcare. Lots and lots of sick people, all sort of conspiring together at the same instant. And so, you know, as an example, Jeff, we're seeing just record numbers in our urgent cares and our ED. Our emergency department has had three record-setting days within the last month.
Wow, what is going on there?
And it's mostly it's mostly you know, this kind of illness kinds of things, but there's some other factors too. So the workforce issues that are sort of moving across, you know, all the sectors of our economy right now really hit healthcare and particularly nursing homes really hard. So we're getting people who are older and more fragile that may in another circumstance be in a nursing home or in an assisted living who are trying to manage at home. These people are pretty fragile and they present in emergency departments. It's also affecting our ability to discharge people from hospitals. So we'll end up with people in the hospital that are really ready to not be hospitalized anymore, but there isn't any bed for them in a nursing home. And so they're kind of languishing in the hospital, which you know, creates a constriction there. So, you know, it's, as all complicated, vexing problems are, it's multifactorial, but all of those things, frankly, are kind of conspiring against us right now.
Wow. Boy, that does sound kind of like the perfect storm, as you'd mentioned. What about, you know, the general public, the community? What are the things that can be done just by everyday people on an everyday basis that can maybe help alleviate a little bit of this?
Yeah, and I think there's a number of things, and I think they're the things that maybe seem like a little bit of a worn-out record at this point to people, but it's, you know, do the things that are within your control. Stay healthy, doing the things that you know that keep you healthy. Get your flu shots, get your COVID boosters, you know, don't hang around with sick people, you know, you take care of yourself physically and psychologically, all of those kinds of things. I think particularly, you know, we're concerned about little kids. I mean, there's so much of this illness going around with little kids. If you've got little kids that are sick and you can keep them away from other little kids at all or from grandma, you know, to try to do that. It's I know with, you know, people got to work and they've got to have daycare and all of that. And it's harder than it sounds. You know, get help if you're sick. You know, so in one breath, I tell you how busy we are. And then the next one, I tell you, well, you know, come on in if you're ill. One of the things I would, you know, just caution people about is you may have to be a little more patient with us. Again, like I said, we've had record numbers in the ED, and our local emergency department and our friends and neighbors and customers that are used to using our ED aren't used to waiting. We're not used to waiting very long. And what I would say is that that's likely to not be the case now. That you know, if you're having a heart attack, we'll get you in. If you're moderately sick and you're in the ED, it might be a while. Same thing with our urgent cares and getting appointments, but you know, again, if folks can be a little bit patient, but if you need care, you know, let us know and we'll get you in.
Steve Underdahl is our guest right now from Northfield Hospital and Clinics. Let's zoom out a little bit and change the subject. I want to talk about the legislature and, you know, both a state and a national level. I guess we can kind of start off with the national level because there have been a change in things over the midterm elections. On the large scale, zoom out as far as we can here and look around the nation. Are you expecting or are there any issues that you will be following as Congress enters 2023?
Yeah, I think we are always, whether it's at a national level or a state level, trying to make sure that our elected officials understand the implications of sort of cogent policy on being able to provide good health care. There's lots of new folks, both at the state level and at the national level. At a national level, I think, you know, that the The margin changes in the Senate may be a little bit more helpful in terms of the current administration being able to get their nominees confirmed, and for organizations like the National Institute on Health and things like that. Some of that stuff that gets caught up in political gamesmanship, when you have a little bit more divided environment, might be a little bit easier to do that way. Our goal, I think, with federal government is to help them understand that local health care is important to their constituents and to the citizens more broadly. And that if, health care just becomes an entity, six huge entities around the country run health care for the whole nation, that puts folks at a disadvantage.
Let's move down to the state level here. We have a new group of legislators, as you had mentioned, that will be entering office in January when this session begins. They have a $17.5 billion budget surplus that they'll have to deal with, along with both policies and funding issues that could affect Minnesota's healthcare system. Anything there that you see maybe a big change, a swing, or you would like to see?
Yeah, it is really remarkable how many new people there are. I think there's something like 24 new members in the state Senate and 47 new members in the House. I mean, it's just the shape of those institutions has really changed. So part of, what we need to work on is making sure that we do a good job of providing some education for new members. In terms of that surplus, I mean, I think every, sort of element of society looks at surpluses and says, we should have some of that. I'm particularly concerned with community hospitals, nursing homes and group homes and sort of related things like Laura Baker Services runs here in Northfield as an example. Many of those are really vulnerable, particularly nursing homes. I've said a number of times recently, I think we're going to see around the state significant closures in nursing homes because they just can't find staff and the math just doesn't work. Even in our own nursing home, we own and operate one at NHNC. We're licensed for 40 beds, and we're staffing 30. So we're capping it at 30 patients. Even though we've got patients in the hospital that we would love to discharge to a nursing home, but we just simply can't staff it. So I would hope that one of the things that we'll be able to do is, have some good conversations and sensitize some of our newly elected leaders to understand the vulnerability of these group homes and nursing homes and community hospitals and what that means to their constituents.
Yeah, do you think that, is there a... You mentioned this is going on for quite some time, and it is over across of a number of sectors, but nursing home is really a critical a segment of not only the economy, but just of America. We need those. Is there an idea? How do you do that? Do you incentivize the workforce? Do you give them bonuses? Do you offer them more money? What will work? I know there's a lot of people just grappling with this right now. Do you have any ideas?
Yeah, I don't know that I think that... all of the answers to all of the questions in the world are about money, but sometimes it's about money. One of the problems with running and operating nursing homes is the margins are so tight. The money, most of the money comes from government sources for nursing homes after people have paid their own assets. And the math just doesn't work out to be able to operate these entities and be able to stay competitive with the marketplace. So if somebody can go to a big box store and make the same amount of money, as an entry level person, as an example, and the work is less stressful and maybe even less physically demanding, many people are going to do that. So part of what happens is you end up with a workforce that's very mission driven, which is great. They really are connected to what they're doing for a living, but it's hard to make a whole sector of the economy rely on that. So I think one of the political and financial realities for some of these entities is that if we don't fund, nursing homes as an example, I think are one of those things where we speak out of both sides of our mouth. They're super important, and we want grandma to be in a good place. And, we struggle to fund them differently because there's a lot of funding needs within government. And I think we're going to have to pick a lane here. Either we value these things as a society, or we're going to have to think of a new structure for this, because my prediction is you're going to see many of these places blink out of existence this year.
Boy, that's really, really unfortunate. Hopefully something can be done to save them and the services that they are providing. Steve, is there anything else going on with the hospital you'd like to mention while we have you on the air?
Well, I guess I would just end with just my real gratitude and appreciation for the staff at the hospital. You've heard me say this before, but the kind of the real unfortunate piece is that we rolled from a pandemic as the pandemic started to wrap up, we sort of thought, well, we're going to, kind of get it back into the normal cadence of how we used to do things, and people can catch their breath and renormalize. And we went right from that into workforce shortages and, triple-demics and all of that. And we're plump full about, two-thirds of the time, and people are really pooped out. And so my public thanks to not only all of the folks that work for NHNC, but all the other healthcare providers that your audience is interacting with here in the community, because this is tough duty. And so these folks are a little worn out, both in body and spirit, yet they're really committed to taking care of folks. So again, I would ask our friends and neighbors that are listening today to be patient and kind as you interact with the healthcare system. It's probably, whether you're with us or at one of the big centers in the Twin Cities, things are probably going to be a little bit slower, but we've got your best interests at heart, and we'll do our very best.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. It's much appreciated. Steve, enjoy your Christmas season, your holiday season, and have a happy new year. And we'll talk to you probably sometime after the first of the year in 2023.
Thank you, Jeff.
Mm-hmm. Steve Underdahl, Northfield Hospital, President and CEO.